This morning I want to talk about giving God our best, and that He deserves the best that we have to give. And I'm going to approach that by telling you some stories. I'm going to begin with one that's found in Genesis chapter 22. There was a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was a man of great faith, trust in God, and did some pretty incredible things because of this trust in God. When he was old, far too old to have children, he was told he was going to have a son, and it took a long time for that promise to be fulfilled, but it was eventually fulfilled. He had the son of the promise, son through whom these great blessings to the nations would come. Then one day God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Notice how he emphasizes. Take him to a place I'll show you, Mount Moriah, and there I want you to sacrifice him to me. Not a word is said about Abraham's reaction. It is left to our imagination to take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him in the mount. All we're told is that the next day, Abraham takes two servants and his son and a donkey with wood and with fire to offer the sacrifice. And they travel for 3 days. They see the mountains in the distance. He leaves the servants. He takes his son, carrying the wood to go up into the mountain. As they're going up, Isaac says, Father, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide, my son. They go into the mountain, and with very sparse details, leaving so much to the imagination and to the emotion, we're simply told that in the mountain, Abraham built an altar and put wood on it, bound his son, and put him on the altar, and as he raised the knife ready to take his life, an angel stayed his hand. So much is left to the imagination. But God had asked of Abraham to do what seemed unbelievable. God had never requested human sacrifice. And here he was telling Abraham to take his one and only legitimate son, take him into the mountain and sacrifice him. It was unbelievable and seemed to be a contradiction to not only everything that Abraham knew about God, but even to the very promises that God had made to him that would come through this son. And whatever else we may learn from that incident, we learn this: God deserves our best. Quite some time later, there's a king by the name of David. It's toward the end of his reign. He has made a bad mistake that's caused bad consequences for the nation. And in 2 Samuel 24, in order to make this right, David is told by the prophet Gad to go buy a place to create an altar and there sacrifice to God, and that the tragedy that has befallen Israel will go away. So he goes to buy this property. The man there is a Jebusite who in good Middle Eastern fashion says, oh, you don't have to buy it. I will give it to you. And not only that, but I'll give you the oxen for the sacrifice. I'll give you the wood for the sacrifice. May the Lord bless you. But David's response is, no, I will pay. I cannot offer to God something that costs me nothing. Why did David say that? Because he realizes that God deserves our best. Later still, after David, after all the kings of Israel, after the exile, the people have come back to the land and are resettling it, but there's a problem that comes out. And in Malachi chapter 1, God addresses the priests and says, "You have despised my altar." And the priests are taken aback. "How have we despised your altar? By offering defiled things on the altar. How have we defiled your altar?" And God says, when you bring an animal that's blind or crippled or diseased, are you not defiling my altar? You see, what was going on there and what's reflected is they were supposed to give sacrifices to God. They knew that. They needed to give the sacrifices, so they would make the sacrifices. But, you know, it was really helpful if you had an animal that was blind and couldn't see where it was going, you just kind of take that down as a sacrifice. Or if you have an animal that's really old or crippled, just so long as you can hobble it along enough to get it to the altar. Or maybe you have one that's diseased and about to die. If you can just keep it going until you can sacrifice it, you've taken care of your obligation and haven't really lost anything. But God called that despising his altar. Why? Because God deserves the best. Again later. Life of Jesus. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells three parables. The second parable in between is one that's familiar to many of us. It's a parable about a very wealthy man who's going away, and he calls in three of his servants, and he gives each one of them a certain amount of money to take care of while he is gone. He gives one 5 talents, one 2 talents, and one talent. Sometimes, by the way, people say, "I'm just the 1 talent man," as if I don't have much. But a talent was worth more than $1,000, and in our currency, and in their time, even the one with the 1 talent was given quite a bit. Okay, so he gives these to them, and then he goes away. Promptly, the one who was given the 5 talents goes out and earns 5 more. The one who has 2 talents goes out and puts the 2 talents to work and adds and earns 2 more. The guy with the 1 talent goes out and buries it in the ground. Apparently he didn't trust banks. Interest rates must have been really low. You can appreciate that. So he buries it and keeps it safe. After a while, the master comes back and he wants his servants to give accounts. So the one with the 5 and the one with the 2 come and they show that they have doubled the investment that he made with them. And he's happy with them. He's going to give them more to invest, more to take care of, because they've shown themselves to be good money managers for him. He comes to the one with the 1 talent and finds that he's buried it in the ground. The man says, "I knew you were a hard man." And the master says, "Yeah, I am. You should have figured that out when you did this." And this guy's in big trouble. Why is he in big trouble? Because God deserves the best that we've got to give. He didn't have to give the same amount as the one with 2 talents or the one with 5. He only had to do with what he had. We're all like that. God doesn't expect us to do what somebody else can, only someone else can do. He only expects us to do what we can do. But whatever it is we can do, he expects us to give our best. Another incident from the life of Jesus. This one's found in Mark chapter 12. In Mark 12, Jesus is at the temple, and he's near the place where the treasury is kept, and people come by and put their contributions into the temple treasury. And as he's watching, there were rich people who came by, and they gave elaborate gifts, no doubt with a great flourish, make sure everybody could see what they were giving. But they were giving large amounts out of the large amount that they had. Then there was a widow who came by, and she puts two small coins into the collection. These coins were worth, in today's currency, a fraction of a cent. And Jesus said that she gave more than all the others. Because they gave out of their abundance, she gave out of her poverty everything she had to live on. What had the woman learned that maybe the rich hadn't learned, and that was that God deserves our best? One more passage. This one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Starting with the first verse. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion the act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Here, Paul tells a story of the Macedonian churches in the more northern part of what would have been Greece. It's not really Greece, but it's in that area. And he talks about how they had a severe trial, they had extreme poverty, and yet they were very generous. And he gives us the keys to how this happened. They gave as much as they were able, he says, and even beyond their ability. And then in verse 5 he says that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. The Macedonian churches had learned that the Lord deserves our best. And as Paul goes on to talk about this, he shows that not only does God deserve our best, but he gave us his best. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. The God of heaven gave the best gift that he had to give for us. He gave his only son. And in a sense, we end where we started. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, and God stopped him from doing it. But then at the end of history, when the Messiah came, God gave his son as a sacrifice and did not stop. He gave his best to us, and he deserves our best. Now, this, by the way, is a general principle. This isn't just about money. This is about everything in our lives. God deserves our best. He deserves the best that we have to give as far as our minds. Don't wear your minds out in it pursuing everything else. Give God the best of your thinking. Give him the best of your living. Your best love, your best holiness, your best in words, your best in your efforts. He does deserve the best we have to give. in contribution, but not just in a contribution in Sunday morning worship, but as we learn to have generous hearts and become just generous giving people to people who are in need. He deserves our best in worship. He deserves our best in service. He deserves our best in every aspect of our lives. And to learn that secret is to learn one of the keys to the Christian life and one of the keys to life. God deserves your best. Would you bow with me for a prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you were willing to give us the ultimate gift of your Son. Father, we thank you for the knowledge that you gave us your best. And Father, please touch our hearts and help us to live always with the knowledge that you deserve our best. Not just the best of some things, but the best of our total lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.